Hi, welcome to The Bridge Podcasts. We hope you enjoy the following message. For more information on all that's happening at The Bridge Church, please visit www.bridge-church.com.
For 30 years, I've been here, and God has given me a mandate. The mandate is to increase people and bring them to the full level of their potential. The main thing in my ministry is to change people's minds. Amen. The Bible says in Romans 12:2, don't be conformed into this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. In fact, verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I think it's we need to do what that good and acceptable, perfect will of God is. Some of us might say, well, I'm doing the good will of God, or I'm doing the acceptable will, but I want to be doing the perfect will of God. I want to be walking in God's will every day of my life. So when the Bible says that we should be transformed by the renewing, that means that there's a renewal, a renovation, a complete change for the better, of a new kind, unprecedented, uncommon, unheard of mind that we need in us. You say, is that possible that we could have that kind of mind in us? Well, the Bible says it is in 1 Corinthians 2:16. For it says, for who has known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So God says, I'm not only going to help you to renew your mind, but I'm going to give you my mind. He says in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. So the mind that we have in us is the mind which is also in Christ Jesus. So when we come to Jesus, we're renewed and our spirit is made new, but then we have to work on our mind. We have to work on our mind. We have to do what we need to do. We have to move away from those things that kept us locked in the process of life that we were involved in. Are you with me? I had to move away from alcohol. I had to move away from many different things in my life. I had to move away from the way my dad was, the way my dad treated us and things like that. My dad did his best, but today, maybe I would have been on the phone to Child Helpline or something because of what happened then. And, you know, so you have to move away from those learned habits or those learned traits that we've had or those things that we have done in our life that we're ashamed of. We have to move away from those. We have to start drawing away from the things that's holding us back. We cannot go back. We cannot afford to go back because if we go back, we dwell in that place of the past, and God wants us to move into the future in an unprecedented way, with a renewed mind, with a renovated mind, a refurbished mind. Amen. A refurbished mind that we could all do with it. I can do with it. So what do I do about my mind? Every day, I try and increase my mind, and I increase it in the Word of God, but I increase it other ways as well. I do what I can to be renewed. The Bible says in that word in Romans 12:2, it says that there's a Greek word, and it's called nous, and it means that it's our basis of our intellect. It's our mind is comprising alike the faculties of perceiving and understanding and those feelings, judging and determining. It's the intellectual faculty of understanding that most of us, our philosophy of life, a man is who is what his philosophy is. So you are what the philosophy, philosophical underpinning of your life is what you are. So if you believe wrong, you'll do wrong. So you function according to the perception of the taught principles that you have in life. If you haven't got a critical, a critiquing mindset where you would critique the principles or the things that you've learned in life, you could be going the wrong way thinking that you're completely right. Yeah. Are you with me? Like the Apostle Paul was persecuting Christians and he says, I sat at the feet of Gamaliel and the Pharisees have told me what to do and I'm doing that and I'm right in doing it. But Jesus said when he was on the road to Damascus, you're wrong. And Jesus showed his power, knocked him off his horse, and explained to him why he was wrong. You see, he was following the philosophies that he was taught. Amen? He was being all he thought, and he was doing all he could to the best of his ability. So we live our life based on the philosophical foundation that we have in our life. Is that right? Is that the way that we should be living? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, the old things have passed away. Behold, all things become brand new. So when we became brand new in Christ, there should have been a change. There should have been a change. You see, a Christian does Christian things. Amen. You know, how do you know a Christian? You know a Christian by their fruits. Do we judge Christians? We don't judge anyone. We judge not lest we be judged. So we know someone by their fruits. If their fruits are unchristian, and if you want to know what unchristian is, ask a non-Christian. Just ask a non-Christian what unchristian is or what a Christian should be like. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So we should have changed in some way. So the psychology that we have or the physiology that we have, if that's a learned trait, we can unlearn that trait.
Amen.
We can unlearn habits. We can unlearn habits in 3 weeks. 21 days is all it takes to change a habit from a bad habit and get rid of a bad habit. That's what the psychologists tell us. That's how long it takes. So, nous is a capacity for spiritual truth, the higher powers of the soul, the faculty of perceiving divine things, of recognizing goodness and hating evil, the power of considering and judging soberly, calmly, and impartially, a particular mode of thinking and judging, thoughts, feelings, purposes, and desires. Okay, that's from the Strong's Concordance. So we have to know that when we change our mind and we get involved with the Word of God, it then causes us to know absolutely in a greater variety of applications and with varying implications. So, When you know that, like Elijah knew, God spoke to him, his word was true, I'm going to do that. You see, when you know, there's no doubt. When you know completely that this is what God wants me to do. Are you with me? It's a knowing, it's an absolute in your spirit. When you read the word and something jumps out of you and you think about it, you see, you don't read the Bible just, I want to read this in a year, and you're just, right, I've got 15 minutes, I can do t- two chapters of, in Psalms and two, one in Proverbs and whatever, and you try and read through the Bible in that rote kind of fashion, you'll never get the absoluteness of the Word of God. You'll never think about what you're reading. Do you get it? So for us to walk in faith and know as an absolute, we have to meditate on the Word of God. Say meditate. Meditate's the lost art of the Christian church. Meditation is the lost art in the world. There's so much noise and so much TV, so much web, so much games, all sorts of things that are distracting us from meditation. So God wants us to meditate just the way Joshua meditated. And when Joshua meditated on his, God's word day and night, then his way was made prosperous and he had good success. Amen? So his way was made prosperous and he had good success because he learned to meditate. Meditation is something that we got to learn to do. We got to separate ourselves. And even if that separation is for 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 20 minutes, once you start to meditate and enjoy meditation, God will start speaking to you. And that's how you're going to get your mind renewed so that you would know absolutely what God's word is saying and know it's the truth. I remember as a young Christian, when I heard the word of God, it was absolute to me. And other people would say, oh, you can't, how can you do, you know, you can't take it as literal as that. Well, I've always taken God's word literal. Are you with me? I just say, well, I'm a believer. If the word says it, I believe it. And that's how I function. Amen. Because there's an absoluteness in my spirit. I know that when I read and it says God's word is immutable and it's backed up by his covenant, then for me, that's it. Amen. I don't argue with it. I say, now that's how it needs to work in my life. Amen. So if our philosophy leads us to be negative, we'll go around saying, well, don't expect anything and you won't be disappointed. You won't be disappointed, or you never do that for me. That's impossible. Or you're like, whatever. So it's like you just never have a positive thing to say. Dreams are best left as dreams. If it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. There's negative things that people say. And man is not suffering from by external forces as much as his own dysfunctional mind and self-inflicted negative stimulus. You want me to say that again? Man is not suffering by external forces as much as his own dysfunctional mind and self-inflicted negative stimulus. It'll never be any different. It's just the way it is. You live in Scotland, that's just the way it is. And you live in Coowinning, or you live here, and the government said there'll never be jobs here, and this is the worst black spot, and it's the worst area. No. The world, we don't let the world tell you what to do. It's your own dysfunction. You say, if it's going to be, it's up to me. Say, neighbor, if it's going to be, it's up to me, or up to you. If it's going to be, if it's going to change, it's up to me to make the change. Yeah. If it's going to be different, it's up to me to make the difference. Yeah. We live in a blame society. Is everyone else to blame? The government's to blame. Everybody's to blame. My boss is to blame, or whoever. But we don't. If it's going to be, it's up to me. If there's going to be a difference, it's up to me to make. If this church is going to be all that God dreamed it would be and gave us the vision, if it's up to me, it's going to be. But it's not up to me totally. It's up to you and me. It's up to you and me. It's up to you and me. This church will grow when you start to go and bring people in. This church will grow when you go and tell people of what God's doing in this church and how people are getting healed and delivered and set free. The past is past. It's gone at last. And it's good. We're in a period of refreshing, redigging the wells, restoration, and regrowing. Amen. Amen. This church is not going to be sitting here with empty chairs by the end of this year in the name of Jesus. Amen. You'll need to put more chairs out in Jesus' name. Amen. And you say, well, if it's going to be, it's up to me. Yes. I'd like you all to say that. If it's going to be, it's up to me. Don't say, well, Pastor David and Linda have now got new energy. They're revived and they're going to do it. No, you're going to do it. Amen. Amen. Say amen, O me or O my, it's the truth anyway. Amen. This isn't a church full of dodgers. This is a church filled with people that can make a big difference, that are going to make a huge difference in the world. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you ready for the word? That was my aperitif. In Luke chapter 5, the word of God says this. Now so it was, as the multitude pressed. Say the word multitude. 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 We got to have that multitude in our mind. We got to have that multitude before us. Have you ever seen a multitude? What does a multitude look like to you? Does it look like 200 people in a small building like this? Does it look like 50,000 people in a stadium? Does it look like 60,000 people in a... Does it look like 100,000? Does it look like 150, 200,000 people? What does a multitude look like to you? One of the miracle of the loaves and fishes, there were 5,000 men. The Bible counted just the men, but it didn't count the women and the children. So there could easily have been 20,000 people there. Jesus called that a multitude. The Bible says there's multitudes and multitudes in the valley of decision. Multitudes waiting for someone to give them a call. Someone to say, let me tell you about the goodness of God. So what are the how do you see a multitude? Do you see you and your four and no more as a multitude? What do you see as a multitude? Of my whole mandate from God is to change your vision, to change things, that make things different so that you can see things differently. It's only because of your inability to see the future that you are where you are today. Because if you could see bigger and dream bigger, you would have been different today. Amen. You see, let me not get ahead of myself. So multitude is a big word. Number one, Luke chapter 5, verse 1. Now as it was, the multitude pressed about him, New King James Version, to hear the word of God. There it is again. To hear what? The word of God. The word of God is life to those that find it. Health and healing to all their flesh. God's word makes the difference. The difference comes from God's word. When you believe God's word, no matter what your situation, no matter what your circumstance, I would go to another country and I do go to other countries just to hear one word that would change my life. I told you the story many times about a wee Irishman that said to me in 1977, he said, now surely, Bernie, you could do better than what you're doing. And I thought, nobody ever said that to me before. And I says, well, how do you think I could? He says, you could become the best salesman in the world. And I says, right, I'm in for it. And within a few months, I was being headhunted for selling into an international company, Thorn MI. So all I needed was one word. That word can come from anyone. That word of life, that word that inspires you, that word. And it was because where I went to learn about selling, they used godly principles. And because I got hooked on godly principles, it moved from there to 3 years later giving my life to Jesus. So the Bible says in verse 2, and they saw that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and they saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and they were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. They taught the multitudes from the boat. So he asked Simon for a loan of his boat. So when he went out in the boat, he taught the multitudes, came back, and that boat wasn't the same boat that Simon loaned him. Sometimes you got to loan God your boat. You got to loan him something, because when you get it back, it's not the same boat. That boat's now anointed. That has a special anointing on it, that boat. And you see what happens here. Now, when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, you've loaned me your boat. God is no man's debtor. He says, you've loaned me your boat. Now launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. So he says, you've loaned me your boat. Now, here's what. You've loaned me your life. You've loaned me your feet. You've gone out and done the work that I've asked you to do. Now let me give you something in return. Amen? God is no man's debtor. So, but Simon answered and said to him in verse 5, Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net. I'm not going to get into the fact that Jesus said, let down the nets, and Peter says, I'll let down the net. You see where his faith was at that time. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and therefore their net was breaking. You see, God wants us to have boats sinking, net breaking, abundance. He wanted the disciples to know what a multitude looked like. They wanted them to go out and catch an extraordinary catch of fish that they, you know, Jesus could have stood on the shore, of course, and he could have just shouted out, fish, jump onto the shore, and the fish would have jumped onto the shore, but that wouldn't have provided what he needed for the disciples at that time. You see, your excess needs access. For excess in your life, you have to know how to access excess. Do you get that? You have to know how to open the door of excess, how to get into that place of excess. How many of you think God wants you to have excess in your life? How many of you would even think, well, I want excess in my life? You know, let me just share this with you, Christian. Having enough for your four and no more really isn't cracking it, because how many of you'd like to help the people in Houston right now? How many of you'd like to help the people in Florida? How many? I'm not even going to Africa and talking about the people in different countries in Africa. How many of you are helping them with great amounts of finance? How many of you are helping missionary organizations with huge amounts? How many of you are supporting churches? How many of you are supporting Bible schools? You see, enough is not enough. You need to believe God for access to excess, because from the excess you can bless the nations of the world. Amen? Amen. And God wants you to be in that place of excessive life, excessive truth, excessive light. Amen? Excessive joy, excessive happiness. Amen. Don't say, he's just talking about money. I'm talking about every area of your life. Amen? God wants you to have that. It's like Christian, if we believe the word, then we would have all that God has told us that we can have. And it says, verse 6, and when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish. Their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. You see, net breaking, boat sinking, excess. Are you with me?
Yeah.
They couldn't handle any more, but one boat couldn't handle it. Are you with me? When God wants us to bring in excess, we need to partner. If it hadn't been for their partners, they couldn't have brought in the amount of fish that God wanted them to bring in. So we need to partner. Church, tell your neighbor, you're my partner. Say, you're my brother, you're my sister. Come and take me by the hand. You see, you're my partner. You're my partners. This work of the kingdom is only going to work when we partner with each other, when we come together into the place where God, I don't even want to go down there, but I'm just going to touch on it. In Deuteronomy 12 and Deuteronomy 14, God says, the place where I have chosen to place my name is a place where you will have access to excess. You see, because there, you got to look around, right? If you look at me, my kids are here and my sister-in-law is here. My philosophy in life was never to be poor. Amen? It was to do and get all that God could give me. Are you with me? So if someone who was in dire poverty was up here, didn't know how to work a bank account or bank balances or anything like that, I would say, if you follow that person, you'd get the same results as that person gets. Does that make sense?
Yes.
But if you've had someone for 30 years that's been standing in front of you, giving you these ideas, something should have changed.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
I follow people on the web, I read books, I do all these things so that I'll never stay where I am for another day. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Because I want increase in my life. God tells us in Matthew 25, when he gives, the Lord gives the talents out, who did he bless? He blessed those with that had increased double. Amen. And he said to the wicked servant who'd buried it, take that talent and give it to the one who's got the most. God is teaching us something.
Yeah.
He says he wants us to have enough and more left over so that we can attract the multitudes. Amen.
Yeah.
So verse 8 says, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish they were taking. Now, so you must know that professional fishermen, when they are astonished, it's not because they've taken in a big catch. It's because they've taken in an excessive catch. No one has ever seen a catch like that before, and they're astonished. Christ has came into your life to make you an astonishment.
Yes.
Amen. That people look at you and say, I'm astonished at how that person has changed. I'm astonished at from where they came from and where they are now. What a difference. I'm astonished. How did that happen? Amen?
Yeah.
Being normal won't make it. You got to be, you need to have the mindset of being a super achiever. Amen? Because God deals in much more. He's the God of much more. If we've been evil, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will our Heavenly Father give good gifts to us? Amen. Yeah, you know, I haven't got time to go into all the much mores of God, but if you look at the much mores of God, you see that God is a much more God. Amen. And he wants to give you strategies. He wants to give you access to excess. Amen. So he wants you to have net breaking, boat sinking, multitude thinking in your life. Amen. Not just merely get by, but boat sinking type of multitude. So the reason. And so verse 10 says, and so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners in Simon, with Simon. And Jesus said to him, don't be afraid from now on. And here's the purpose that God did this. From now on, you will catch men. So this whole story is about not the net breaking, boat sinking, excess or multitude of fish. It's about catching men. It's about taking people and not taking them from an empty boat mentality where we've fished all night, caught nothing. What the heck? We'll go out again tomorrow night. And then we'll do the same tomorrow night. And if we catch something, we've caught something. If we catch nothing, well, we'll go out again the next night. No, it's not God's way of doing it. He didn't want these men with an empty boat mentality going seeking other men. He wanted men. So the first time that Peter preached, 3,000 men, 3,000 people came to Jesus. That's not an empty boat mentality. The next time he preached, 5,000 came to Jesus. That's not an empty boat mentality. You see, if you have an empty boat mentality, or you say, well, I hope one day things will be different. Well, if you hope, hope's good. Hope's a rope. But if you dream and you hope and you put faith to it, you can and you can put God's word to it, you'll change. You'll have access to something that you never had access before. You will know the absoluteness of God, and you will chase God down to get all that he has promised you. Amen. So this whole story is about us moving away from a church, an empty church mentality. Coming, sitting here, looking at this every Sunday and saying, well, I wonder when this is going to change. When you get the mentality of multitudes. Amen. When you get the mentality of seeing more. When is this okay? When you change, this will change. Amen. When you change, this will change. Amen. God wants to give you that, envision you to be, understand that you're a super achiever. Understand that he didn't send Jesus Christ to come into your life so that you could be the same old, same old. It doesn't matter. You say, well, I'm retired, Pastor. No, no one retires. One day you retire and go to heaven. That's what you do. But you don't retire from the kingdom of heaven. You don't retire from the kingdom of God. I'm not slowing down. I'm not turning back, running back, going. I'm going forward. I'm going forward with bigger vision, bigger mentality. And we're going forward believing for all that God has for us. God didn't send us here for nothing. When he brought us from South Africa, I want to tell you that we didn't run away from a failing business. We had a great business. It was we had everything that we needed and more. And we were financing Bible schools. We were I did the foundations for a 1,000-seat church. I paid for those. And it was in a rock, an area of rock with half of the foundations had to move. We had to move a lot of rock. When you talk about rock, it's expensive to move rock. God gave me the finance so as I could do the foundations for a 1,000-seat church. I didn't leave an empty boat to come to Scotland to sit with an empty boat. Amen. And I'm not saying that about me. What I'm saying is God gave us a vision, and now we're transitioning that vision. And David and Linda are going to be the lead pastors here. And we're still going to, my wife and I are still the founders, obviously. And we're the apostles that are sent one. We were sent to Scotland by God, a call of God by God to come here and do this. So God's not finished, and I'm not giving you a smacking or anything here. I'm not giving you any trouble. I'm just saying that we need that mentality of full boat. We need excess mentality. We need access to the excess, and we can change a nation from this place. Amen. And there's people in here that are nation changers, and you will draw young people like Lewis, and we'll have a band, we'll have everything that we need. We're now broadcasting on YouTube, and we're going live. So listen, church, we are going where God wants us to go. Amen. And there's one place Abraham said to his servant when he sent him to get a wife for Isaac. And Isaac, the servant, said to Abraham, "But what if the woman doesn't want to come? Shall I take Isaac back there?" Abraham says, "Never, never take him back. Never go back. Remember Lot's wife? Don't look back. Turn to a pillar of salt. She looked back. No, we don't look back. The only one way for us to go, and that's forward. Amen. And if you fail once, you rise and go again. Even although a man falls seven times, you get up and you go again. If you fail, you fail forward. And God will bless every failure as well as every great thing that you do. Amen? Because a lot of great people failed on their way to success. Amen? But it's how you handle that. You say, "Well, I've learned from that. Now I'm moving forward again." Amen? So That's what I'm believing for. I'm believing for a church with excess mentality. I'm believing for a church that are believing for full nets, boats sinking, increase, great multitude mindsets. Great multitude mindsets. Amen.
Amen.
If Colonel Sanders on his security check, social security check, could start Kentucky Fried Chicken and become a billionaire after he was 65, there's no excuse for any of us. Amen. Yeah. Led by God? No. God will do all things for us. We have the mind of Christ. Amen. Yeah. To do superlative things. Amen. Amen. Were you blessed?
Thanks for listening. Remember to visit our website, www.bridge-church.com, and connect with us via Facebook and Twitter.